The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
1 year ago, Hamas, along with some allied militant groups, mounted an unprecedented attack on Israel from Gaza, attacking on land and by air. A massive barrage of thousands of rockets preceded and accompanied the attack. It's estimated that some 6,000 Gazans were involved in the attacks. In addition to the Nova Music Festival, which was attacked, 21 civilian communities were targeted, leaving 1,139 people dead and 250 Israelis, soldiers and civilians, including children, taken hostage back to the tunnels of Gaza. This was presumably to provide human shields for Hamas, but also valuable bargaining chips for the release of Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. The Hamas attacks were condemned by dozens of nations, although some Arab and Muslim-dominated countries blamed Israel's treatment of the Palestinians, both in Gaza and the West Bank, as the root cause. In any event, what followed was a massive response from Israel, the destruction of much of Gaza's civilian infrastructure, the displacement of millions of ordinary people, over 40,000 dead and twice that injured and maimed. Both Netanyahu and Hamas leaders and the now-dead leader of Hezbollah have been accused by the International Criminal Court of war crimes. And of course, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen the bombing of Lebanon, even Beirut, by Israel. For her reflections on a very difficult year, we're joined by Israel's ambassador to Ireland, who has withdrawn from the embassy here, Ambassador Dana Ehrlich. Ambassador, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on this difficult day.
How is the anniversary being marked in Israel today?
It's a very hard day for all of us. On that day, this morning, on October 7th, a year ago, our lives and our reality was shattered. It shattered the understanding that we cannot be safe even in our own homes, in our own beds. But unfortunately, it also showed us how quickly hatred and disinformation spreads again. Now, so we are marking it internationally in all of our missions around the world. There was a vigil held outside of the embassy yesterday with many friends and supporters. We are holding another event later today. So for all of us, this day is not just an anniversary. We have been living this for the past year, and unfortunately, we are still living it until the hostages, 101 hostages, will be released and the violence will end.
Now, that's what I was going to come to next, which was the concerns about the hostages. I think it's fair to say that those concerns have been largely overwritten in international headlines by the destruction of Gaza and the current bombing of Lebanon. Would you agree the hostages are no longer front page news?
For us, the hostages are in our hearts, so we don't need necessarily a headline for that. For us, the main cause and the main prayer is to see them back with their families, back in their homes. And this is the minimum request that we ask also from UN agencies who have not been calling this out. We have not seen the Red Cross or UNICEF publicly and firmly calling for the release of Ariel and Kfir Bibas, of all the other women, elderly men, children that are held captive in a very cynical, brutal way by Hamas under inhumane conditions.
They might argue, those UN bodies, that they have enough on their plates without becoming, if you like, international lobbyists for the freeing of Israeli hostages.
And if it's part of their mandate to make sure that all children around the world are safe, like the mandate of UNICEF is, also UNICEF Ireland, then I would expect them to demand the safety of Ariel and Kfir Bibas. If the Red Cross international mandate is to make sure that there are minimum conditions for hostages, then I would expect them to do so on a daily basis.
In Israel, how much pressure is there on the government to negotiate the release of the hostages rather than try to bomb their way to their release?
I reject that premise of bombing their way. I just want to remind you and the listeners, we are still under attacks by Hamas, not just missiles, but different terror attacks on a daily basis within Israel, within our borders, in our villages, in our cities. We are under attack of Hezbollah in the north of Israel. Many civilians had to flee. Many villages and cities had to evacuate because of that. I don't think that the expectation to keep our population safe is something that you wouldn't expect from any government to do. So we want to bring our hostages back, to bring the kidnapped back to their families, but we also need to make sure that we can live peacefully.
The focus of the war does seem to have moved from Gaza to Lebanon, which makes you wonder what is being done in Gaza to release the hostages there.
Well, we are still continuing to eliminate the threat of Hamas, and that means their stockpiles of ammunition, all the terror tunnels that we see. But for us, I understand that in Ireland, the headlines about Hezbollah have only made it now to the public attention. For us, we have been living under the ongoing fire of Hezbollah since October 8th. They started the daily missile and rocket attacks as a support of Hamas, and they haven't stopped. We need to address that threat, and we repeatedly called out for the international community. We called out to Ireland, saying Hezbollah needs to stop. Hezbollah is a threat not just on our civilian. They're a threat on the Lebanese population. They're a threat of UNIFIL soldiers, as we've seen with the killing of Private Sean Bruni. An Irish soldier was hit by Hezbollah forces. So those threats need to be addressed. For us, it's something that, unfortunately, we have been living daily. It's not a new front. But right now, we are taking preemptive defensive measures in order to stop this.
Yeah. Now, preventive defensive measures means eliminating the leadership of Hezbollah, and we saw the explosion of the pagers, we saw the explosions of the walkie-talkies, which killed and maimed many of those who were in possession of those devices, and also the bombing in Beirut on Friday week, which took out a very important leader of Hezbollah. But is it possible ever to eliminate leadership of a group as large as Hezbollah? Because nature abhors a vacuum, those leaders will be replaced, and their enmity towards Israel is undimmed.
We want a diplomatic solution, and we want to see the full implementation of UN Resolution 1701. Unfortunately, until now, we have seen a void because there wasn't an implementation of 1701. There isn't any deterrence to Hezbollah, either by UNIFIL or by LAF. So what we are doing right now is trying to make sure that our citizens can go back to their homes and not just live peacefully, but live, not be under a constant barrage of rockets, under the threat of those missiles daily going from southern Lebanon to northern Israel. We want a diplomatic solution through the implementation of UN resolutions. But until that happens, we need to make sure that the minimum safety for our population is restored.
Now, why would you not then bring the same standard to bear on UN resolutions about the West Bank and the presence of Israeli settlements where they are not supposed to be and have been condemned by UN resolutions? Why not adhere uniformly to UN resolutions rather than one that just simply suits you?
Unfortunately, throughout the years, we've seen the abuse of the UN and different UN agencies against Israel. We know that there is an automatic biases against Israel and automatic stance against Israel. And we've seen many resolutions being abused by the different countries in order to pass steps which are anti-Israeli, which not really promote either stability or coexistence.
And do you maintain that those settlements are legal in the Palestinian territories?
We are fighting a war in the north for our survival. We're fighting a war in the south for our survival. We're seeing missiles come from the Houthis, who are another proxy sponsored and trained by Iran. We see those threats from different fronts on a daily basis, and we are fighting for our survival on that. So this is what we are focusing on right now.
I was reading a quote from Lord Richards, General Lord Richards, who was chief of the UK defence staff from 2009 to 2013. He has a new book called The Retreat from Strategy. And he says, Israel has forgotten that there has to be a political purpose to war, otherwise they cannot succeed. So the question is, what is the political purpose of this war?
I reject that accusation. And I'll remind him and the listeners that time and time again, Israel has promoted peace agreements when there was a viable counterpart. We don't want just coexistence. We want peace. But unfortunately, right now, with Hamas and Hezbollah, these are two terror organizations whose aim and mission is to eliminate Israel. There is no coexistence with these organizations who bluntly, shamelessly, and publicly call out for the destruction of Israelis and killing of all Israelis. So what is the survival war that we didn't start.
So, Ambassador, what is the end game? What does Prime Minister Netanyahu envisage as the end game? How is Israel living in peace, and how are Israel's neighbors living, the Palestinians and indeed the Lebanese? What is the vision that...
I'll remind you the situation in our region on October 6th, when we were trying to promote different projects for the prosperity and well-being of population in Gaza, be it Gas for Gaza or other projects. If you're talking about the normalization agreements that we have with different countries, and we were hoping to expand those normalization agreements. So for us, that vision of October 6th, this is what we want for ourselves and the region. Unfortunately, that brutal reality in the morning of October 7th reminded us that when we hear threats of Hamas, of Hezbollah, of Iran, we need to take them seriously. What I want the listeners in Ireland to understand is that the international community needs to step up and help us. When a UN member, such as Iran, calls publicly for the destruction of another country, that needs to be addressed. And I would expect Ireland, the administration, and everybody supporting democracies and this our way of life to make sure that we are allowed to live in coexistence and peace for our population and the region.
But I'm just wondering how you all envisage this, because the amount of hatred that has been engendered, hatred of Israel, by what happened in Gaza, when we're talking about over 40,000 people killed, when we're talking about double that number maimed and injured, many of them women and children. I mean, how do you expect...
I just remind you that those numbers are given to you by Hamas. You are repeating information given by a terror organization.
What are your numbers? What are you saying in terms of the casualties in Gaza?
They have admitted that they are falsifying and inflating those numbers. And they also admitted that 80% of the casualties are Hamas members, meaning they're terrorists of that organization who have been killed.
I mean, people listening will think that's deluded, that kind of remark. I mean, we have seen the indiscriminate bombing. We've seen bombing of hospitals and schools where we are told that Hamas had used them as human shields, the people therein. But whether it's 40,000 or 30,000 or even 25,000 dead, I'm wondering what figures you think are the relevant figures.
I'll remind you that we didn't just say, we showed information, we showed plenty of footage of the way that Hamas is abusing hospitals, mosques, schools, homes. So the evidence is there if people need to see any more instead of believing a terror organization. But I agree that this war is tragic. It should never have started, and no other person should die. And like you say, no number is small enough because nobody should have died. What we want right now is to stop this. We need to bring our hostages back. We need to stop this violence. But this can only stop when Hamas are not a threat to us, when Hezbollah stops firing missiles at our civilian population.
But when you bomb buildings in the center of Beirut in a residential area, and admittedly your intelligence was good that you did get the target that you sought, but we all saw the pictures in the aftermath of the bombing and little children being taken out in their parents, I presume their parents' arms or rescue workers' arms, and you're wondering, you know, how many children's lives can be exchanged for the head of Hezbollah? I mean, what is the calculation? What is the moral calculation?
No child should die. But where was your condemnation? Where was your criticism for a year when our civilians, when our children were in the line of fire? The fact that there are no more Israeli casualties, it's not for lack of trying on the part of either Hezbollah or Hamas. It's because we defended and protected our populations. I didn't hear any outrage, either from you or from other Irish officials, media, when we were under daily attacks. We asked, we called out for the international community, for Ireland as stakeholders with UNIFIL soldiers to help us and pressure Hezbollah. We understood that this cannot go on and we need to defend our people.
Ambassador,
this is an obligation
isn't it,
that I'm sure also the population of Ireland will expect their people to do if these were your children, your families in the line of fire.
Sure, and I understand that, but I'm just wondering if there isn't a perception that it's a very unequal battle, that whereas there's no Iron Dome...
It is an unequal battle.
I mean, there's no Iron Dome over Lebanon, there's no Iron Dome over Beirut.
Because we have spent years and a lot of infrastructure building those self-defense mechanisms. We built them because of the threat that we are under. So now we are also blamed because we've developed different tools to defend ourselves. We are in a situation that, again, we are damned when we don't and damned when we do.
No, but all I was saying is not that I don't commend Israel for defending its population with the Iron Dome, which could not have been done without the help of the United States, the continuing ongoing help of the United States. All I was saying is that Beirut doesn't have an Iron Dome, cannot afford an Iron Dome, couldn't build an Iron Dome even if they wanted to. And that's
because
the point.
Because unfortunately, Lebanon is at the mercy of this terror organization, Hezbollah, and the way that they entrench themselves in the population, in government. So it takes the international community and different stakeholders to make sure that Lebanon is freed from Hezbollah. And for years, it's not just Israel been saying that. We see different countries that are taking part and trying to help Lebanon in this difficult situation that it's in. But to blame everything, again, as if it's Israel's fault and that the situation in Lebanon right now is because of Israel's fault, again, you are falling into this false narrative that Hezbollah is drawing.
Now, Israel's military strategy does depend on massive military superiority, which in turn depends on the United States providing that kind of resource into the future. Now, at the moment, it is absolutely guaranteed, be it a Republican or a Democratic president, but not necessarily in the long term. So kind of being on high alert, armed to the teeth, and having an Iron Dome over your country is not necessarily a comfortable way to be living going into the future.
What we've seen is an ongoing, constant support of the U.S. for the state of Israel, for its right to defend itself. And what we want to make sure that continues, we've seen that with different allies, because it's not just the United States. Different countries understand that we are at the front line fighting terrorism, which can affect the whole world. We see how the Houthis, the proxy sponsored by Iran, affect prices internationally when the shipping is hurt, when the shipping lines are hurt. So that's the support for Israel's safety is also out of understanding that we are fighting a shared fight for the democratic and free world.
Now, the question of U.S. support, given that Donald Trump would support the bombing of Iran's nuclear facilities, Joe Biden would not. Are you supporting Trump as the candidate rather than Kamala Harris for the November election?
the bipartisan support of the United States to Israel and the good relations that Israel has with the United States have continued throughout years and will continue into the future, again, because we have the shared values and the shared concerns for the region and for the world.
One last question about your own security. I mean, there's been talk of Israel's vulnerability, even with the Iron Dome, that if Iran or its proxies were to attack the electricity infrastructure, three key power stations, that they could bring Israel economically to its knees in very short order. What do you say to that?
We are doing everything in our power to make sure that our safety and the safety of our people and critical infrastructure is preserved. When I woke up this morning, the morning of October 7th, a year since this horrible war, tragic war started, I'm not just scared for the safety, personal safety of my family, my friends, my people in Israel. I'm scared for the future of the Jewish communities, the Israeli communities in Ireland, in the world, when so much hatred and disinformation, as you said it as well, has been so quickly spread, when there were, we saw throughout this year, personal incitement against me, against our embassy. The Israeli and Jewish communities in Ireland are concerned. We hear more and more concerns. So that bothers me more than those threats that you mentioned. This is what keeps me up at night. What is the future of the Jewish and Israeli community in Ireland will look like if right now people are dismissing the rise of anti-Semitism and they are not hearing the concerns of the public?
Now,
if people do not understand that anti-Semitism needs to be combated in Ireland, that is what I'm concerned about.
A final point, and it's one of those spats that has arisen between the office of our president, Michael D. Higgins. He obviously claimed that the Israeli embassy had leaked his letter to the Iranian president, newly elected. That has been denied. In fact, seemingly the letter was widely available on the Iranian websites. But then he is critical of Israel for insisting that the UN force, the Irish UNIFIL contingent, should vacate their location, perhaps for their own safety. What do you say in response to Michael D. Higgins?
We value the office of the president, and obviously as part of our diplomatic relations, we have ongoing engagement with the different offices and departments. But what I am concerned is those sometimes we see repeatedly in Ireland accusations against Israel, baseless accusations, are spreading so quickly without checking. So it's also the role of the media to question whenever there is a statement like that. We saw the incitement, and we saw that those really baseless false accusations that are leveled at us, and that concerns us.
Do you believe President Michael D. Higgins is contributing to an anti-Semitic feeling in Ireland?
What I'm talking about right now is different manifestations of anti-Semitism from different parts of the media, of the public discourse in Ireland that we are concerned about. When those accusations are being leveled at Israel, at our embassy, at the people who work at the embassy, the Jewish communities, I think there needs to be an understanding of the role and responsibility that plays within the public. We see more and more Israelis and Jewish people who are afraid to speak in Hebrew or to show any physical manifestations of their identity because of fear of retaliation. I would not have expected that in Ireland.
Ambassador Dana Ehrlich, thank you very much for making the time to talk to us today on this very sad anniversary of the events of October the 7th. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.